praise the Lord. We, the redeemed, to him we praise with every creature, every tongue, all together in one voice of praise. Psalm 118 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I hope you are here to do just that, to worship our Lord. It's great to have you with us today. It's especially good to have visitors with us today. And I hope that you'll feel welcome as you go throughout this time together with us. I want to give you just a few announcements. First of all, let me say that Pastor and his wife Kelly were gifted a couple of days away, and so we encouraged them to do that. It was last minute, so anyway, that's where they are this morning. We have a lot on the agenda, so to speak, to do this morning. We're excited about baptism. We have some presentations, missions presentations, camp presentations, and then Kelly O'Rear is going to speak to us in just a little while. Parents, I want to remind you that this morning, immediately after the service, the children that are in K-5 through 5th grade summer choirs are having some speaking auditions, so they're welcome to come in there and be with us for that. If you want to take your kids to the fellowship hall, if they're not going to try out for a speaking part, that's fine as well, and just have them back at 11 o'clock at the regular time. But if they want to participate in that way and audition, please let them stay for that time together. We're excited about next Sunday evening. We've got about 180, 85 people that are planning on meeting us at the Lookouts game. If you have purchased tickets, you should have received an email from the Chattanooga Lookouts and also a follow-up email from myself. If you didn't and you purchased tickets, please contact me probably sometime later today, maybe not right after the service, but please feel free to do that, and I'll get back with you, and we'll make sure that your questions are answered. Remember, tonight at 6 o'clock is our TechWise parent. It's the second session of that tonight. If you have any questions relating to that, Kelly O'Rear is overseeing that. And this is the second session, as I said. There are a lot of other announcements in your bulletin and the inserts, and so please take time to go through that and make sure that you're well informed. There's also a section of prayer requests, and we try to highlight some of those requests each Sunday morning, but there's a lot of them, so please be in prayer. I know the Corley twins, as far as I know yesterday, were back in the hospital again. They're struggling a little bit, so that's Samuel and Silas Corley, so please be in prayer for them. Pray especially for Michael and Tori. It's just difficult. Twins kind of carry that second level of experience, right, with children, but with sickness, that brings also a different level of emotional concern, physical as well. So just pray for them. I didn't get word about Thomas Dameron, but I know Thomas was struggling this week with some physical issues with muscles and just some issues like that. So I think he's having some tests this week. And as I said, there are other requests within your bulletin for that. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to watch over us this morning and just allow us to come into his presence and worship him. And we're excited about that. And then Kelly's going to come and introduce the baptism candidates today. Would you pray with me? God, pray that you would just quieten our hearts now. I know for me, Sunday mornings are rush and hustle bustle, but we want to hear from you today. And so just help us to quieten our hearts and minds before you and let you lead us through this time together as we hear and communicate with one another what you're doing in our midst and what you're doing in our community. But we want to hear from you today, from your word. You'd speak to us and minister to our hearts. We love you. We thank you that we have one voice of praise as believers. And in a time this past week with the Supreme Court ruling and about life, and Lord, there's so much turmoil around this, but it's because it's the evil one that's fighting this. So please be over and around those people that are so involved in the trenches of in our area choices. We just pray over those leaders today that you would watch over them and protect their facilities and them physically and help them to be able to minister in such a great way because of what you're doing in our lives, Lord. So for everything that happens today, we lift it to you and pray that it would be just pleasing in light. For it's in Jesus' name, mighty name and wonderful name we pray. Amen.
This is going to be a neat morning and some things that the Lord has lined up for us. As Fritz said, I'm Kelly O'Rear. I'm the discipleship pastor here. And it is my privilege to baptize two of the three children that have come and requesting baptism. So as has been explained to them, and I want to remind all of us, what is the purpose of baptism? Well, baptism is an important step of obedience in following Christ. And it's a picture. Baptism is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of buried to my old way of living and raised to walk in newness of life. And as Easton pointed out, he's like, oh, so it's a picture, right? Like it's a symbol. Yeah, it's a picture. So this ordinance of baptism brings about two things. It accomplishes two things, okay? First, for the individual who's being baptized, it is their public testimony, it's their public confession to you of what's already happened in their time with the Lord and in their time with their parents, that they have put their trust in Christ. So we practice believer's baptism. Baptism is for those who have already put their trust in Christ. So as has been explained to them, this doesn't complete your salvation. This doesn't add to your salvation. As Mr. Aaron Arnold said to them, it doesn't make you a super Christian, right? It's like putting on the team jersey, okay? And so in front of the team, I'm going to put on the team jersey this morning. So it is for those who are being baptized, it's a public profession. But for us as a church, it is a reminder to us that those who are stepping into these waters of baptism this morning, they are our responsibility. So we want to rally around them and encourage them in their relationship with the Lord, and we want to be a part of discipling them. So it's for the individual, but it's also for us as the church. So first this morning, we have Easton Loveridge coming. So come on, buddy. Easton is 10 years old. You can hold on to that rail if you want. I'm just curious, how many of you were 10 years old when you were baptized? How many of you remember being 10 years old and baptized? You're going to be the only person. Okay, I have two people in the back. So you are one of two people who's 10 years old, and Olivia would be the same, who was baptized. Now, Easton put his trust in Christ. Let's come on out here so folks can see you, and we'll come back here just a little bit. Easton put his trust in Christ when he was 5 years old. And so this baptism thing was like, thought through it. Saw his younger sister be baptized a few months ago, right? And then he was at Center Kid Camp. You're going to hear a report about that in just a little bit. And they talked about baptism. And so he came home and was like, I need to do this, right? So, all right. Easton, so by your standing before these folks, are you telling them that you've understood the gospel and you've put your trust in Christ as Savior? And by doing this, you want to commit to following him with God's help with your life. Is that what you're telling these folks this morning?
Yes.
Good answer. Okay. So remember what we practiced? So left hand. All right. Right hand on me. So Easton, as my brother in Christ, I want to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptized, buried with Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life. There you go. Okay. Livia, you ready? Here we go. All right, this is Olivia Gilmore. So Easton is the son of Neil and Brianna Loveridge. Olivia is the daughter of Steve and Ashley Gilmore. And Olivia, I love this story. So Olivia took a Bible test in Miss Sarah Beasley's Bible class. Is Sarah here this morning? Okay, so we can talk about her freely. So, Olivia, you took a test in Miss Beasley's Bible class, and after that test, it caused you to want to ask some questions, and Miss Beasley kind of led you and some others through understanding the gospel, and that's where you put your trust in Christ. So that must have been quite a test. So I want to see that test later on. And so she also saw her sister be baptized, and so that got her thinking, and she's been asking some questions. And so she comes this morning, also 10 years old, to be baptized. So, Olivia, are you telling these folks here that you have understood the gospel and put your trust in Jesus, and you want to follow, with God's help, you want to follow Jesus with your life. Is that what you're telling these folks?
Yes.
Yes. All right, let's step back here. We'll do what we practiced. Okay, so left hand. We worked on that. Okay. By your profession of faith, my sister in Christ, I want to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ, and raised to walk in newness. Isn't it neat? Ah, it's so special. So next is Felicity Hall. Felicity's dad, some of you know, but Bill Hall is an ordained minister, and so Bill is going to be baptizing Felicity. So we're going to trade places here, and I'm going to get out of the way. And if you want any of my notes, you can just read them.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good morning. So I've had the special privilege of being able to baptize my other three children, and this morning I'll be baptizing my youngest, Felicity. Felicity was saved, actually, when we first started attending Grace. We were getting ready to come to one of the services in person. We'd been attending online for a little while, and that morning it actually worked out that we did not meet in person, so we attended online once again, and right after watching the service online, Felicity came to me and said, "Daddy, I want to talk about salvation." And we talked about salvation before, and that morning I had the privilege of leading her to Christ. And so we had talked about baptism off and on since then. And she kept saying, "Oh, I need to get baptized. So it was very much a kind of a volitional thing on her part. And we would talk about it periodically. And so she's ready. Felicity, if you would come this morning. This girl is one that, you know, you'll find her early in the morning in her bedroom. And she'll be singing things like, "Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you, you can know Jesus," you know, this kind of thing. And she's just a precious little flower, and we love her so much. Felicity, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Well, on the basis of your faith in Him, my daughter and my sister baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so blessed, Father, not only to have the gospel and the gospel's work in our lives, Lord, to be saved, children of God ourselves, but Father, to share that with our family, to share that with our friends, to share that here in this place we call the church, because we are an assembly of believing people. The Lord God, your Son, the Lord Jesus, talked about that fellowship, that communion, Lord, that we have with you and we have, Father, with one another, and it is so precious. Father, we ask that you'll bless the remainder of the service today as we fellowship around your word. Father, we learn from you, and Father, we're so thankful for the truth, and that we can speak of truth, Lord, absolute truth from your book. Father, if there's anyone here today who is in their hearts thinking about baptism or salvation, we ask that you work in that heart today in your love, Father, and in your care. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great morning.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
Yeah.
blessing and honor and glory. Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? And open the scroll. The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son.
First off, wow, that's really loud. I want to say thank you for your years of continued support for the Alaska team. This trip, I know GraceWorks is extremely grateful for the many years of us sending teams up. I think going on 12, 13 years, something like that, we have sent a team up almost every year. And so all the way back to Tom Kilpatrick getting us going on these trips. Just super grateful for that connection. And so, just thank you. As you could see from the video, we had a busy week. You see us doing a lot of activity, playing games, and this really is one of the main things of doing the Bible time in the park throughout the week. Is just playing with the kids, getting to know the kids, having an organized Bible time, and then just having gospel conversations. And I just want to say thank you. If you, I didn't say I was going to do this, but if you have ever been on an Alaska team trip, would you just stand and just so we can recognize if you've ever been on an Alaska trip through the church here? Just let's give them a round of applause. Thank you for your years of commitment and going on these trips. But the point of is sharing the gospel and having gospel conversations throughout the week. We had between 20 and 25 children come out every day in this park. It was a second year GraceWorks was working in this park. And if you remember, last year was our first year going to this park. So it was their brand new work and our brand new park that we've never been to. And it was a little discouraging last year. We show up and there would be no kids. Or there would be 15 of us and there would be one kid. And so it would be a little intimidating as one child of 15 big people standing there wanting to play something. Well, this year was completely different. And that's one of the things I love about GraceWorks and the ministry there. Is there's groups throughout the week There's ministries, churches throughout the year that minister in the, to these kids in these parks. I want to paint a picture real quick, tell a little bit of a story about the importance of planting seeds. I grew up on a farm and did a lot of gardening and farming as a kid. And if you know anything about planting a garden, you plant a seed, and there's some things that are involved in that seed for that seed to grow. If you don't know anything about gardening or farming or anything of that nature, you can be discouraged because you put a seed in the ground and you don't see anything happening. Well, with watering and sunlight and all and pulling the weeds and all the necessary things for that seed to grow, you can get delicious fruit and vegetables. And one of the cool things with technology is we've been able to maintain contact with our park hosts. They joined our group chat while we were there, and they've been updating us periodically over the last couple weeks. Last year, 1 to 2 kids, 3 kids, we had a high of 10, 15 kids come out, kind of standoffish, not sure what to do, and having, you know, okay, what's going on here, to kids waiting on their bikes at the park for us to come in and just love on them. And so after our week there, we had 2 girls who put their trust in Jesus. It was like, awesome. And there was other kids asking questions. We got a message in the middle of the night the other night that 5 kids this week, the park, the team that was there in that park, 5 kids put their trust in Jesus. So the challenge to our group and the challenge to everybody here is keep planting seeds. You don't know who's going to come along and water. You don't know who's going to come along and pull the weeds. You don't know who's going to come along and help that seed to grow. Keep planting seeds. I didn't say I was going to do this, but I just want to let you all know as a church, many of you may know this, but one of our team members, Aiden, is going to actually be going back up to Graceworks for the month or for 3 weeks in July. And he's just looking forward to helping and volunteering there and ministering in the kitchen and helping out there. So if you just see him, give him some encouragement, let him know you're praying for him. A really neat opportunity. And again, thank you for your years of support.
All right. Oh, there we go. All right. As you can see, I tried to get as much of the camp experience into that video as I could, and there were just too many good pictures to leave them out, but we had a blast, as you can tell. I want to get all of these guys up here so that you can talk to them at some point, maybe today, maybe at the fellowship time, and just say, hey, what did you think about camp? Did you like it? What did you learn? The theme was wonder, as you can see from our shirts, and it really focused on who God is and how God loves us and cares for us. And Centra Kid, despite all the craziness that you saw, they are immersed in the Word from morning to night, and they give the kids a follow-up devotional to build that habit of spending quiet time with God every day. And they do it for 4 weeks, and I hope you guys have done it. I told them I'd give them a prize if they finished it and journaled out, but we'll see. Did any of you want to share any words about camp while you were up here? Okay. Easton, I know.
My favorite part of camp was track A and track B. They're the games you pick before the OMC starts. There are 2 games. Track A is the first one you do, and then track B, an hour later, is the one you do next. I picked flag football and game day.
All right, so that's just part of the day, and that caters to the kids' interests. They can pick different tracks, but during those tracks, they have a Bible study time. They have a small devotional time that reinforces the point of the day, such as, God is a big God, or God loves and cares for you. You know, and they're simple truths, but they're such important truths for us to learn, for us to remember. And it's just a wonderful time to have that camp experience, to have that focus time, to go crazy and be silly, but to know that there's reason. Even that the game with all the shaving cream and the messiness and the paint and all that, they brought a devotion into that. Because there's interruptions that happen during that game, and they said, you know, sometimes life, there's big interruptions, bad things happen, but you know what? God is still over it, and He still cares for you. And it was just simple truths, but it was a great time. I loved seeing some of these kids like really open up, forge new friendships, and it was just a great time. So thank you for supporting camp and supporting these kids. And like I said, talk to one or two of them during fellowship time after the service and get a one-on-one perspective. That'd be great. Thanks.
I told you we had a lot packed in this morning to the service. Thank you, Aaron and Steve and Ashley and all the volunteers. I know that you have a lot of adult volunteers. You could see some of them on the videos and the pictures, and it takes a lot of people to help and guide these kids. And there's a lot of college students on the Alaska trip. So just thankful, as they said, for your involvement and your giving and your prayer, and we really need that. And I'm thankful for what God's doing, continuing to do, right, in the lives of the people that went and also the lives of the people that they touched. I'm thankful that we serve a risen Savior. And as I was thinking through some of the things that were happening this morning, as I was preparing the last couple of weeks for today, this old hymn kept coming back. So I want us to stand. We're going to dismiss the kids. We've let them stay in here so they can see all this. We're going to let them go on to children's church, and Aaron and the leaders are going to take care of them. So when we stand, the kids can be dismissed to children's church. We're going to sing, I Serve a Risen Savior. Sing with us.
I serve a risen Savior in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Sinner's cross, you bore my shame and sinfulness, you rose. rise again victorious.
Faithfulness none can deny.
Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me.
Good morning, church. I was really tempted to wear my flip-flops up here to preach in, but I thought that would be a stumbling block, not for you, but for me, because you all have seen how much I move when I'm up here. So anyway, what a sweet morning for Grace Baptist Church for us to get to celebrate this together. And this has been sweet. I think... Also, as I was thinking through the testimonies that we were going to hear and the stories and the background of the testimonials that we've heard this morning, ministering to children can be intimidating, right? We think with children these days and the world that they're growing up in or even teens, like that could be intimidating. And then when you think about the Alaska team and what they walked through and the background and stories that you need to ask them to tell some stories about what they walked through and where these kids that they ministered to live and what they live through on a day-to-day, that could be intimidating. Walking into that can be an intimidating thing. And so as I was thinking about that and how big those things can seem to us, at the core, I want to ask a question this morning of what does God want from us? What does God want from us? Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll do this brief message with you. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, for those that were baptized this morning, we pray for them. We pray for their growth and their following of you, for their families, as their families rally around a disciple, and for us as a church as we disciple them. Because we know that represented before us are three lives that are going to touch a lot of other lives. Lord, for those that were ministered to in Alaska, we just pray that you would further that work in their lives and what these kids heard at Center Kids Camp. God, that you would further that work in their lives as well. So, Lord, this morning as we open your word in this brief time, I pray that you'll bless it, prepare our hearts. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will meet with us in a very unique way so that we know that you're speaking into our hearts this morning. Please glorify your name and fulfill our joy, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and turn, if you would, to
2 Corinthians chapter 5. And while you're turning, I happen to look over and notice that Andrew Ward, a missionary to Togo, is here with us this morning. So, Andrew, good to see you. Is anybody else with you? Okay, we got one son here. So the rest of the family will, I'm sure, be around at some point in time. We'll get to love on you guys and greet you, but good to see you. Let me introduce this message and where we're going in this way. A couple of years ago, I had an experience with some high school students that I was ministering to, speaking to up in the Midwest, and it just caused me to ask some questions. These were public school kids from a variety of states in the region, and it just got me to asking some questions about ministering to students in these days. So I did what is normal for me. I found a book, right? And I found a book that some folks recommended. Multiple people in ministries recommended this book. And I started to read this book, big book, on this particular generation, this younger generation. I got about halfway through the book and became so discouraged. True story, sitting in my office that doesn't exist anymore, sitting in my office, I reached the conclusion that I was so overwhelmed in that moment with all the challenges and obstacles that they face and the world that they live in that's so different from my world growing up, I reached the conclusion that I will probably never again be able to minister to high school or college students. True story. I remember how that came over me sitting in the office. I never finished the book. It was so over, and written by a professing believer, but I became so discouraged after reading that book, I never finished it. And I thought, well, I'm done, because the obstacles that were presented to reaching them, and he wasn't even talking about reaching them with the gospel, but just ministering to them, were overwhelming. And so I saw that and I was like, who could possibly keep up with all of this and be able to minister to them? Now, maybe that's not your challenge or the questions that you're asking. Maybe you're facing a different challenge, but maybe because of the world that we live in and how it's changed so much, maybe you've lost hope. Maybe there are questions that go through your mind, like how could we possibly reach kids or teens these days with the gospel or disciple them or build them up in Christ? How could we possibly reach folks living in trailer parks in Alaska with the dark background that they come from? Who could convince that unsaved family member or coworker or in-law? Who could possibly convince them or help them to understand the gospel? How could they ever, what a almost hopeless case, but we don't say that out loud. Or who could reach that student, or who could possibly reach that professor with the gospel? What could possibly be done for this particular believer and the challenges that they're facing that seem overwhelming in their particular ongoing struggle? Maybe this is not a salvation question, but a sanctification question. Or maybe the questions are even closer to home. Maybe even close in your own heart. Maybe there's a battle within in your own walk. How will I possibly get through this? And many of us in this room hear voices in our head that tell us you're the only one, you're never going to make it, you're a unique case, and whatever you do, don't ever tell anybody about your struggle because you're alone. We have voices that come to us from without. We see circumstances, and I don't know about you, but the voice from within is really loud for me. So how do we face that? And in the midst of those challenges, what exactly, if we had to boil it all down, what exactly does God want from us? What is at the core of what God wants from us? Now, we could say, so you're thinking, Kelly, how do you tie all this together? Now watch, what does God want from us? Well, some of us would answer, well, God wants obedience. God wants us to obey his word. And I would say that's an element, but what's at the core? And some would say, well, God wants our worship. And I've preached many a message. It's a passion of mine to help believers to understand what is worship. And some of you would say, no, it's not obedience, it's not worship, but we're spiritual. We know the answer, because what God wants is glory, because we all know the chief end of man is what? To glorify God and what? Enjoy him forever. You say, well, what God wants is glory. But I would submit to you, the chief end of man, the goal is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But how do we get there? What's the means to that? Let's look at Paul's words. And I want to share with you briefly about my journey and my own challenges with just looking at how could I possibly ever disciple again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a very familiar verse. In the context of Paul talking about death and what happens when we die, and in this statement saying, how do we live now before we see the Lord Jesus, before we stand before God, before all of this is consummated and we stand before him and we're delivered from the presence of sin and the power of sin, how do we live now? In verse 7 of chapter 5, he says, for we live, we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. In these days, before we go to be with Christ, we walk by faith, not by sight. We haven't seen everything that we need to see. But one day, this is all going to make sense. But right now, we walk by faith. I would submit to you, brothers and sisters, that what God wants more than anything else from us is to be believed. And if you look up things like how do we glorify God, and I read multiple articles over the last couple of days, at the core of all of these, God wants to be believed. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve believed lies about God, about his word, what he had said, and about his character. It was a faith battle. What does Hebrews 11:6 tell us? And without faith, it's impossible to believe God. It's impossible to please God. James chapter 1 tells us that trials and the different suffering and challenges that we face, they're a testing of our faith. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, here's what I want us to understand. When Paul says sight, in this context, he's speaking of one day we're going to see as we've never seen before. 1 Peter chapter 1 alludes to this as well. One day we're going to see. It's all going to make sense. We're going to go to the beautiful side of the tapestry. Right now we're on the back side and all we see is the random strands and things and it doesn't look like it weaves together. But one day we're going to see this beautiful tapestry that God has been weaving together. But right now we walk by faith, not by sight. Here's my challenge. Brothers and sisters, the air we breathe today is a polluted air that calls us, that challenges us, that even tells us that all we have is to walk by sight, by what we see here and now today, a different kind of sight, sight walking. As I read that book, it didn't give me hope in the gospel. It didn't present to me the majesty, the glory, the power of the gospel. It left me feeling overwhelmed with all the challenges that this generation faces. And I thought, who could possibly reach? My view of God and my view of the power of the gospel began to shrink as I read these pages. The air we breathe is a different kind of sight walking. We walk by what we can see, feel, and understand in our own intellect. But Paul says, we walk by faith, and particularly not by sight, by what we can see in the here and now. Our culture is supercharged with the pollution of a different kind of sight walking. So we have to ask ourselves these questions, like, are the news channels that we're listening to, are the friends that we're engaged with, are those websites that we're visiting, are those things that we're engaging in that are pouring into our mind, are they encouraging us to walk by faith, or are they polluting our minds and calling us into a different kind of sight walking? In our home, we've had some issues over the years with words and how words are used. Sure, that's foreign for a lot of you, but this is something we face. And one of the things that we asked the kids, just happened this week, are your words medicine Do they bring healing, or are your words poison? Do they bring sickness? And I thought, Lord, as I was praying through this message, what are the things that I'm allowing to bombard my mind? Are they medicine? Do they fuel my vision of God, or are they poison? Do they corrupt faith? The majority of the voices that we're hearing are drowning out the Spirit. They're drowning out the Word. There's no big view of God. God wants to be believed, trusted, taken at His Word. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I want to take a second, and they're not going to be on the screen, so you're actually going to have to use your Bible this morning or use your device. I want to just let the Word do its work this morning in this moment, and I want to look at some things that Paul says in 2 Corinthians leading up to this statement, we walk by faith and not by sight. So go over to chapter 2, verse 14. Some of you won't even have to turn your page. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Listen to Paul's words as he writes, and let this be medicine for your soul this morning. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us into triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Look at chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Look at verses 5 through 7. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Look at verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of truth, according to what has been written, I believe, so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak. Knowing that he who raised Jesus, the Lord Jesus from the dead, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us to you into his presence. Verses 16 through 18. For we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, we don't walk by sight, but the things that are unseen, we walk by faith. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. When Paul uses that term, we came across it twice in chapter 4, verse 1, and actually in that section, verses 16 through 18. That word, lose heart, is the natural outcome of negative influences that leads to inner weariness. Let me say that again. To lose heart, as Paul used it here, is the natural outcome of negative influences that leads us to inner weariness. Brothers and sisters, when we walk by sight, there are certain things that are evident in our life. There are certain symptoms. We lose heart. We stop trusting truth. And we trust our feelings over truth. Our faith shrinks and prayer is stifled. Walking by sight squelches prayer, shrinks faith. And whether it's science or feelings or logic or research or reality, it's sight. But as I read recently in Paul Miller's book, A Praying Life, audacious faith are the hallmarks of Jesus' followers. Listen to that. Audacious faith is one of the hallmarks of Jesus' followers. What does God want from us? He wants to be believed. He wants to be trusted above all the other things that clamor for us and say, no, you can't go there, or maybe that was for other people, but that's not for you. He wants to be believed. Came across an old book by Martin Lloyd-Jones on revival. And he talked about the fact that as we face this generation, and he was writing back in the 1960s, he was preaching this. God, listen to me, here's what we need to believe. God is still the same. Amen? He has not changed. His heart for the lost has not changed. His ability to miraculously breathe life into an unbeliever, to give understanding. God has not changed. Number two, we need to remember, the heart of man has not changed. Whatever the outward trappings, the heart of man is still desperate for and separated from God and in need of Christ's sufficiency. The heart of man has not changed. Number three, the solution to the problem remains the same. The gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God for salvation, but it is also the power of God as believed for sanctification and for our growth in Christ. God wants us to take him at his word and believe him. Believe what he has said about himself above and beyond all these other things. Listen, we can think about the great voices of faith in the past, and we can think about the D.L. Moody's and the George Whitfields and the Elizabeth Elliott's and the Amy Carmichael's and the Billy Graham's and the Bill Bright. But listen, we are called to walk by faith, not by sight, just like they did. And they had flesh just like we do. They were not super Christians. They were humble folks that just sought to walk with God. Our confidence is in the fact that we are just as small and weak and frail as our forefathers, and God still delights in showing his sufficiency and working through weak vessels. All I've ever had to bring to God and offer was my brokenness. What does God want? He wants to be believed. Remember that book I told you about that discouraged me? In the last 6 to 8 months, I've had 5 different guys from that generation ask me to disciple them. 2 high school, 2 college, and 1 25-year-old. So apparently they didn't read the book. What are you facing? Listen, what are you facing that seems insurmountable? Who or what are you listening to? Does it lead to a breathtaking, captivating vision of God? Is it medicine? Or is it poison? Now, I'm not saying be ignorant of the news and things that are going on, but I'm saying it's a battle of faith. What are we exposing ourselves to that fuels faith? I started thinking as I wrap this up, was journaling about this yesterday. One day, this is a challenge for me. All right, I'm just going to preach to me, and you guys get to listen, okay? One day, I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and faith will become sight. One day, it's all going to make sense. One day, not just set free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin as I am now, but one day, from the very presence of sin, I'm going to see him, enjoy him, his glory, his beauty, his majesty. I'm going to see him as he is. So this is the challenge that came to my heart yesterday. I want to trust him today like I will wish that I had trusted him when I see him that day. Because when we see him, we'll go, oh, like it's beyond words. What we will experience and what will overwhelm us in that moment. So I want to follow. It's not a shame and guilt thing. I'm just saying I want to follow him and trust him and believe his character above my feelings and above so many other things that seem to squelch faith. I want to believe him now in a way that I will be thankful that I did when I see him face to face. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? I'll close with this story. It's a true story. It was a pastor of a church in another state. We're going back a few decades. When he took the pastor to this church, there were some people that did not want him there. And in fact, they did not like the way that he preached the word. They did not want to hear the word. So there was one church member, very wealthy, that offered him a large sum of money if he would step down. In another incident, he was preaching the word, and a member of the congregation came out of their seat and decked him in the face in front of the whole congregation. One morning, because he refused to back down, he believed God had called him there, he refused to back down, he stood up to preach, and a whole bunch of the congregation stood up and walked out. That would be pretty discouraging. A little old lady in the church invited him over to serve him lunch. And they chit-chatted, and then she took him into her living room. And in her living room, there was a portrait there of Daniel in the lion's den. And as soon as I say that, some of you can picture, right? Like arms tied behind the back, and there's lions. And so she asked the pastor, "Pastor, I want you to look at this portrait, and I want you to tell me what you see." He said, "Well, I see Daniel," very discouraged. "I see Daniel, I see a bunch of lions around him, and I see he's tied up with ropes." And this sweet little lady said to him, "That's your problem, Pastor. You haven't noticed the most important part of this portrait. Because Daniel's eyes are not on the lions, they're on the Lord. We walk by faith." God is calling us, brothers and sisters, to an audacious faith. What God wants is to believe. Would you stand with me right now? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the sweet time that we've had together as a body of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name that you would raise up some bold faith, some audacious faith in this room. I pray for bold, courageous, gospel-saturated, truth-saturated prayers to be expressed for others in the body of Christ, for you to work in lives, for you to transform hearts. I pray for a bold, courageous, truth-saturated, founded faith. I pray that it would just permeate the atmosphere of this place. Spirit of God, give us the grace to believe the gospel, to believe your word, to believe the character of God, the love of Christ, the power of the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name.
All that I am.
All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you, O Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaim, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. And Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, will use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hopes, all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. A pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you my life.
Thank you, Kelly. I promised you that there was a lot going on this morning. I hope the Lord has really used it and blessed your heart, because He has mine. God is still at work, right? Let's not walk by sight. Let's walk by faith. I invite you, if you're visiting with us, we have a brief time of fellowship back in the fellowship hall, straight out these doors, all the way into the next building. And we'd love to spend a little time with you before our discipleship starts at 11 o'clock. Lord bless you.